Welcome to this podcast episode 57. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell me the time it is. Welcome to our month.
Yeah, man. Welcome to post-Christmas for both of us.
Yeah,
oh shit. We have both been down with the sickness.
100%. We've both been fighting, and I'm still fighting, if you can hear my voice in the echo chamber. Yeah,
I was dead last week, so there was that.
Hey, speaking of Morte.
Yeah.
Jim Boeheim killed a guy.
Yeah, man. At first, you know, when I heard that, I'm like, you ass.
Yeah.
But the more I heard about it, it just seemed like a bad situation.
Yeah.
Dude's car died. He was wearing all dark clothing. And then he was kind of just out in the road. And I just, Boeheim did the right thing. He went right to the cops. He wasn't impaired in any way. Right. So.
That's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first heard it, I'm like, shit, I wonder if this is going to be the thing that finally gets him, because
exactly. He
had a similar story to Urban Meyer, right? He had an assistant that was like either a sexual pervert or an abuser or something like that. And at that time, I'm like, man, this may get him, and it didn't. So then I thought this would do it, but.
Fair enough.
I don't think it's on him. No, I think it was just a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, I think so too. Also dead. White Sox chances to get Manny Machado.
I see what you did there.
Segue. I'm a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a pro.
So Manny Machado signed with the Padres. As a Sox fan, I'm not upset, really. You have to know going in the mentality involved. Jerry doesn't want to spend his money, right? I mean, he does. Right. He will.
And to be fair, it's not just his money.
Correct.
Right?
He co-owns the team. It's not his team.
Right.
Right. And
he's on that show. It's not his show.
Correct. I thought that the offer that came in was more than fair. More than fair.
More than fair.
I mean, there's a higher average annual value AAV than the 10-year guaranteed deal he signed. But that's the key word there, guaranteed.
Right.
Right. Like, they came give 8 guaranteed in the 2 subsequent years, but the total of everything was it was $25 million higher overall or something along those lines.
Right.
But, you know, Manny wanted the guarantees, and I think – I mean, he's saying all the right things right now, right? Like, oh, I always wanted to be here. I want to be Padre, but whatever. But
nobody wants to be a Padre. Like,
exactly. And Jesse Rogers, the little guy, was at his press conference. Because he's there for Cubs, so it's probably a short drive in Padres camp. And
short drive is all Jesse can do.
That's correct.
It is kind of
what he did. Hey, now. And he didn't call out Manny, but in a way he did. Like, if you read between the lines, he's like, you know, what about the White Sox? Da, 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 and Manny just glossed over it.
Really?
Manny's like, this is about today. Whatever. I'm just like,
yeah, you know, you and I have chatted on this about this a little bit prior, but I don't think I've shared this with you. The thing that kind of, and I don't know, it's business, right? You do what you do to get the best deal that you can, because everybody cuts their own deal. But it's really starting to feel like he just used the White Sox to up the dollars. And you know what? Shame on them for putting it forefront, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from Sox Fest, didn't they? Yeah. There was talk about it there and on the panel, and I think when they had an interview with Renteria. And out of a 20-minute interview, 17 minutes were about Machado.
Right.
I mean, right. When he probably should have just said, you know what, that'd be great to get that guy. He's a, you know, fantastic player. He would make our team better. But let's talk about the team that we have right now. Right. You know, I mean, right. So part of it's on the Sox. And my guess, I mean, they're a smart guy. Rick Hahn's a smart guy. Exactly. Part of me thinks that they really thought they had this done.
I think.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone
that far. Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the comments made by Hahn and Kenny Williams, they thought as of that morning that he was going to sign with the Sox.
Yeah.
The night before, they got Jerry in a room. But what am I doing here? Where's my snack? That's what it was. And got more money, apparently, to offer the offer that has been rumored.
Right.
Jerry agreed to it, and it was a done deal. And now, not a done deal. So, a done deal for the Padres, apparently.
And then I mean, it stings right now, and like you said, there's Sox Nation is angry, but if this guy doesn't perform like they're expecting him to, it's just a big sigh of relief, right?
Not only that, but, I mean, you have to look at Jerry's practical. Like, he doesn't like something. For example, I'll give you an example.
Practical in Webster's. Is that next to cheap or below it?
Let me clarify.
Please do.
This whole thing started, by the way, Reinsdorf and Boris hate each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Jerry Reinsdorf, and this stems from Alex Rodriguez. Not Alex Rodriguez, Alex Fernandez.
Right.
Alex Fernandez. So when Alex Fernandez was a member of the White Sox, his contract came up, became a free agent. He wanted a four-year deal. Back then, that was a good deal for a pitcher. 4 years,
sure.
For X amount of money, Jerry completely balked. Like completely said, "Go fuck yourself," because apparently they had agreed to some sort of loose number,
mm-hmm.
and then Boris came and raised the number. And
yeah.
Jerry said, "Get that! I'm not spending that much for a pitcher."
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the Marlins, pitches 1 year, blows his elbow out, done.
Right.
So with that knowledge, Jerry becomes practical.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to spend what was, I believe, rumored to be, if you combine the two option years, $90 million, no, 70. It was 35 and 35, I think it was $70 million for a 35 and 36-year-old player.
Right.
He's not going to do that.
That's just good business.
Right. Practical. Right? Like, ask the Angels. Right?
Right. Pools,
if they would like to be practical.
Yeah.
If that contract was a good contract. Jerry will pay the money, but it's got to be the right situation. And Manny Machado, with the offer they offered, was the right situation. Just Manny, just went somewhere else. Like, you can't.
No, I get that.
If that's what you want to do, then there's nothing you can do about it if you go somewhere else.
But this is really the first time that he's flashed that much out there. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, yeah. Before we talked about it, Abreu signed for $68 million, and that's the largest contract they've ever done. So, exactly.
Yes, correct. So, I mean,
but I also can't help thinking that your Kawhi Leonard comp fits here.
Yeah,
maybe. And well, just because Machado in LA. I mean, here you are, big stage, good team. You're at the height of your career. Show us what you can do. And he did nothing. Yeah. And it wasn't that he didn't have the skill set to do it. It just, he acted lazy.
Yeah, not only that, but now there's talk of, now Harper's still out there, right?
Right.
So now there's always talk of, well, the White Sox should just up there offer to Harper.
No.
And you're missing the point.
Right.
It's not, Jerry's not going to do it. Jerry's not going to do what Bryce Harper wants.
I mean, he's already turned down $300 million, so.
A couple times.
Yeah.
He's turned down 10-year $300 million deals. Jerry's not going to do that, so you can forget about Harper. But instead, Jay, we got Urban Santana.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Which was a nice little pickup.
For a minor league deal, why not take a player on the guy?
Oh, no, I'm just making fun of the in comparison to Machado.
Right. Oh, yeah, I gotcha. As far as blockbusters go.
No, I think it's an incredibly smart deal.
Right.
That's got more time to know. It's like, if he's good, then you pay nothing for him. If he's bad, you just cut him.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Send him on his way. Irv. Big Irv. Oh, now, you threw the hair model's name out there earlier.
Bryce Harper?
Yeah. So, everybody thinks Philly, right?
Yeah.
They've just got to cross the T's and dot the I's to get that done. Is there anybody else in the running there?
Here's the thing. Here's a popular Boris thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When a team is stagnant and not quite getting to where Harper wants it, or his client, I should say not Harper, any of his clients. This is right. His MO. There's all of a sudden a mystery team involved. Which, of course, makes the team bid against itself.
Sure.
So there may not be. There was talk on Twitter today there's some mystery team. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. There's not another mystery team. I think Boris is just trying to up the offer. But plus,
the Cubs have already said they're out, right?
Oh, yeah, they're out. Yeah. But they don't have money to. You know, they don't have to.
Yeah.
But the Padres, there was talk on Twitter that maybe the Padres were that mystery team. But a couple of columnists have come in and said no, that the Padres are trying to get Dallas Keuchel.
Oh.
That they've spent the big, big money. They've done that. They're not going to do that again to Harper. But right. They're trying to get Dallas Keuchel, which makes sense also. If you're trying to be a team on the rise, Keuchel can make a big difference. I'm honestly surprised the Sox haven't tried to get Keuchel. My guess is maybe he wants 4 or 5 years, and that's not something the Sox are willing to do.
Yeah. He'd look good on the north side, too.
He would. Especially with Darvish. You have no idea what Darvish is.
Oh, my God.
No idea. But Chris Bryant hit a bomb today. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, because, well, the first game in spring training is always indicative of how your year is going to go. Oh, so I'm all in. I'm putting everything behind this win against the Brewer today. Yeah. So that's going to stack us up to maybe 9,900 wins, sure. Win the division. Huh. Yeah.
That's right.
And yeah, no, the funniest thing about the whole game today to me was Joe not being able to keep his hands off the lineup. Had Hayward lead off, which worked today. And then Bryant came up and then in the two hole and hit a dinger. So, I mean, it looked genius today. But
I mean, honestly, Chris Bryant's your best two hitter.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
Doesn't strike out a lot.
No. And especially with the loss of power.
Correct.
Which I guess we'll see.
Supposed to be better.
Right.
But Jason, he hit a home run today. His power is
back. I know. Yeah. What are you talking about? Loss of power.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's like hitting a golf ball out there. I mean, come on.
And then on the
weather.
Lovely Tucson.
Yeah.
Eloy Jimenez first at bat struck out first three pitches. I don't know what he did today, but.
Wow.
Three pitches. He got.
So. Yeah. I've seen not good things about that.
About Eloy?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
I've seen conflicting things. And let me just say I was on CBS Sports preparing for our draft next week pretty much all day. So, you know, in one area they have him as a possible breakout, but then yet they had his little arrow pointing down. And it's like, okay.
Which is it?
So whatever.
No one ever lives up to the hype. I mean, not even Bryce Harper, right?
Right.
Nobody can live up to that hype.
No.
But to be fair, if he just comes in under the hype, it's still a good season. He's still a good player.
Yeah, and that's true. And you didn't pay Hayward money for that, you know?
We did not.
So.
I mean, the outfield, once Eloy gets called up, it sounds like the outfield is going to be Eloy,
mm-hmm.
some combination of Eloy Jimenez, Nicky Delmonico, Nicky Stakes.
Yeah, I love Nicky Stakes. It's my guy.
Adam Engel and Daniel Polka. But it's weird because there, it sounds like there's one extra outfielder, right? Like,
yeah,
they have too many outfielders, maybe. But I guess you can't have too many outfielders. Then Rick's going to have to figure out a way to get them in the lineup. You know, because the Sox signed Yonder Alonso, right? Like, he's going to be there for his DH guy along with Abreu. You sign John Jay. He's got to play somewhere.
Yeah.
He's got to play the outfield somewhere. He's not going to run the bench. So, I mean, and
John Jay. He went off today, I think.
His best position is center field, which is weird.
Right.
But Engel's glove is so good. Like, if he can just hit like 250, it'd be worth it. Because his glove, it catches everything. There's nothing that kid. I've seen him catch 99% of the balls that he can get to. Just hustle. Like, that is incredibly fast. I wish he could hit, because then, or get on base even, because then he'd be a great leadoff hitter. But you've got your third baseman leading off now, so you want Mankata. Well, John Jay went out today, but. Yeah. So we'll see about that. What's the Hawks, Jay?
Well, I was gonna talk about the North Side just a little bit more. Seeing Daniel Descalzo as your starting two bagger. I mean, and there's a couple of cats out there that I'm guessing this might be their last ride. Jimmy Adducci at first base, and you're like, I don't know who that is.
I don't.
And Johnny Field. Out in right field today. Yeah.
He was a fifth round
pick by the Rays in 13. So I'm guessing there's a little Joe love.
Probably, yeah.
To try to give him one last shot.
Exactly. This could be possible. One more chance in the bigs.
All right, man. Hit me with the Hawks.
Yes, yeah, so the Hawks. Lost last night. I was there, unfortunately. They traded goals with Columbus. Unfortunately, Columbus had the first goal, so they ended up with an empty netter, losing 5-3. The Hawks lost 5-3. But they've been playing lights out, and a big reason for that, number 88, Patrick Kane.
Yeah, man. Playoffs or die, he says.
I have to get my phone here, but I believe he's on a 20-game scoring streak. Because he had a goal last night.
No, he did. Kept the streak alive.
He did.
How about the cat? Did the cat get one?
Got one, too.
Nice.
Yeah, those two guys.
Those two.
The Hawks are one of three teams, I thought I heard on the broadcast today, that have 230-goal scores on their team right now.
Wow.
Yeah, they're good. They're real good. Let me drill down to Patrick Kane here. Second in points next to Nikita Kucherov, who has 100 points already in 62 games, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yep, 20 games. 20 games. His last game without a point was New Year's Day in the Winter Classic.
Wow.
He scored a point in every
single game. That's me knocking on wood.
Every single game since he's gotten a point, at least one. That's nuts.
Now, and I'm not saying, I mean, in this stretch that they've had, this amazing stretch, they've beaten good teams. The last two teams they beat were bums. So coming off those two, I'm like, oh, well, you know, exactly. Columbus was legit.
They played a team last night that they're fighting for their last playoff spot with and lost.
Yeah.
And they're playing another team tomorrow. I believe they're also fighting for the playoff spot for. Let me double check real quick. You know, definitely up Dallas is seventh. They are 4 points ahead of the Hawks.
Okay.
So you can win here, put you right up, back up there, only 2 points back from the Stars. You have to get a win in regulation, by the way.
Not a win. Ah. Because winning, I did not know that.
And win in overtime, they get a point.
Okay. So you don't want to get a big lead and give it away again, is what you're trying to tell me.
Again. That's all I have to do. There's a gambling trend, by the way, with the Hawks, Jay. I don't know if you know this or not. Their record is ridiculous. There's a thing you can bet in Vegas and with online sportsbook, legal online sportsbooks. It's called first period over. And it's set to two.
Okay.
Their record, their first period winning that bet is like very lopsided, like 75-25, like really lopsided. And overs in general for them because they're scoring a ton of goals.
Sure.
And they called up Henry Yokoharu, who was quickly becoming my Johnny Oduya, by the way. For those of you out there in podcast land, I have an irrational
not a fan
Johnny Oduya, when he was with the Hawks winning three cups. Yeah, I hate him. Anyway, but I digress. He wasn't great last night either. They called him up. They said Emeritus Seabrook is hurt. They have two different.
Is that Seabrook's. What it is? Is that what they're calling it now? Hurt?
He's allegedly hurt.
Yeah.
Seabrook's hurt, and Dahlstrom is sick. So maybe that's why they call him up your car.
Oh, okay.
And their farm team's in Rockford, so it takes no time for them to show up. In Chicago.
The Ice Hags.
That's right. The Rockford Ice Hags. Danny's correct, my friend.
Well, you mentioned gambling, Joe.
Yeah.
And it looks like the governor hopped for it.
Good.
Thinks that it's gonna, bring in. What did I hear? Like $600 million, something like that.
There have been estimates like that. Yeah.
There was a wide range, right? It wasn't like 200 to 600. I mean, yeah. It's like nobody knows.
Right. And like they thought, there's an interesting. We'll get to what we like on the internet in a minute, but. There's an interesting YouTube clip put together by Vox and ProPublica. They do like lawyer and legal and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And the state with the most gaming spots, like, slots, and table games and all that, is Illinois.
Really?
Yeah. And for those of you outside the state that are listening to this, Illinois has slot machines everywhere.
Well, I thought that they put a moratorium on that, like for 2 years, they couldn't bring in any more.
They might have, but they.
And then they were looking to re-up that.
Yeah, before that moratorium.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I mean,
they have little storefronts.
Yeah, dude, it's all over the state. There's and if you can have booze in that.
That I don't know.
No, you can.
Oh, you can.
Not all of them do.
Actually, I take that back. I think you have to have a liquor license.
Yes.
Right? Because, there's...
Yeah, it's tied into gaming. Right.
Yeah. So there are machines in every bar that I've ever been to, except the ones in Wheaton, because Wheaton's super...
Religious. Dry.
Not dry, but they frown upon that sort of thing, but, they're everywhere else. They are every bar... They're in every gas station. They're in storefronts. Like in my little town, there are 3 gaming storefronts, I believe. My town is like 4,000 people.
Yeah.
There's 3 gaming, and there's 3 or 4 bars. All of them have machines. All. So, they're everywhere. One gas station has them. I'm sure the others are trying to figure out how they can fit them in. To their footprint of their, gas station. But, it's nuts. So the fact that that's the reason why that number is varying so much, because even though they have the most table, most spots for gambling, the income has fell.
Right.
It hasn't. Yeah.
It's gone down. It was supposed to go toward education, and that's taken a huge hit.
Yeah, education and construction projects. I guess right. I heard something on BBM today on the way into work because it was either BBM or Hey Fred. Where they're having public hearings about the budget and shit like that, and they want to build. They want a big capital bill to rebuild roads and bridges and shit like that, and also they want to rebuild or add on to a bunch of community colleges. Because that number, because what community colleges do is train workforce.
Yep.
So they'll get that money back, right?
Yeah.
And there's talk of them like leasing parts of the interstate or something, or not the interstate, what was it? Leasing the tollway. The state wants to lease the tollway. And that's going to generate a bunch of money. But the sports gambling thing, back to that, so kind of go full circle. That's why it's raining so much. I know New Jersey's raking in dough, left and right. And there's more people, way more people here than in New Jersey.
Right.
Now, New Jersey does have, it's one of the richest states, right? Like the income level in New Jersey is very high. So I'm leery of a high end of their number.
Yeah.
Like 600 million sounds like way too much.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing is
probably more reasonable.
The only thing that's going to drive that, though, is how high the tax is going to be on it.
True.
It's only, they're second to Pennsylvania as the highest tax on winning. So, yeah.
And I think what they want to do is have a game plan similar to Pennsylvania. I think that's the plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's the model they looked at anyway.
Yeah. Like they're going to pay, like, the licensing for gambling is going to be like $10 million a year, some crazy amount of money. Or maybe $10 million one time or for five or whatever. And they're going to limit the number of licenses, so not anybody with $10 million can come in.
Right.
Like, they're going to do their due diligence. Like, I'm willing to bet William Hill will get a license, I would imagine.
They have all the soccer ones?
William Hill?
Yeah.
William Hill has the most sports book. They're the biggest sports book in the country.
All right.
And they're huge overseas. They maybe the biggest sports book in the world. I know they're the biggest one in the country. Like in Vegas, they have them and everywhere. I would imagine William Hill get a license. I would imagine DraftKings and FanDuel probably get a license. There's a company called USA Sportsbook. They might get a license. But I know, I would think those, the first three I mentioned would get one. Another interesting part of that is they've been talking left and right about maybe regulating or installing online poker as well.
Huh.
I don't know how that's going to fly.
Right.
Because that's a completely different thing.
Absolutely.
But.
Well, when we first started talking about this, when it was proposed last year, you were saying, I don't know how it would be good because people that gamble are going to stick with their, you know, regular bookie or whoever they go to, and they're going to stay away from that 20%.
Yeah, because the one thing they, right, the two things that bookies don't have is a tax.
Right.
They take a VIG, but they don't have a tax.
Right.
And they have credit.
And they have credit, right.
Yeah. So you can call the guy and go, give me 100 on the Bears or whatever.
Right.
Maybe not the Bears, bad example. But give you $100 on the Cubs, or right? And you can do that. You don't need to give them $100 out of your pocket right then and there.
Right.
It's a credit thing. If you owe a certain amount, then you better give them the money or they're going to do something bad to you. Whereas with regulated gambling, it's regulated for a reason. Like, you have to have
the money
now. You have to make your bet now. You can't have credit. So that's the part that I think that's why I tend to think it's going to be the lower end.
Right. Well, and the other thing, you know, like we were saying, you're just going to stick with what you do and you're not going to invest in these things. I mean, this is more for a millennial or a casual gambler that's out somewhere and, you know, they're drinking and the Bears are up at halftime. So they're going to throw some money on it. That's fine. Yeah. But I was thinking about it the other day and they don't really crack down on illegal gambling in the state right now. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a victimless crime, right? I mean, more or less. It's not big enough money where anybody's involved. Yep. Now that the state's involved and it's costing them money, that may be an initiative where they try to shut down, you know. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, Joe Lindholm who, you know, has a book of like maybe $5,000. It's going to be somebody that is well established and has a lot of people working for them.
I guess.
But bring back the Untouchables, Joe.
Yes, that's right. My guess is that until it becomes federal law, like there's, like the Supreme Court didn't establish a federal law for gambling, like sports gambling. It just said the states have the right to do it, right?
Right.
But until there's federal regulation, I don't think the offshore stuff is going to really happen. Like there was a fabled online poker crackdown that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Where the U.S. government just went, you're done. Boom. Done. Nobody could get their money. Nobody could play poker. Nothing. They just shut it down.
Hmm.
So you're done. Boom. And if you went to the website, you got an FBI warning and they shut it down. And eventually they came to an agreement, like the people that, the players and the people that were running the sites were like, at least let us give them their money. Right?
Right.
Because you have guys online with hundreds of thousands of dollars in a quote unquote bank, you know, in their account that they couldn't access. It's their money.
Well, but if it was illegal, I guess it was legal when they got it, right?
It wasn't, and that's the shady part, right?
Yeah.
So the FBI and the government went, okay, you can pay out the people in America who have accounts, but you cannot accept any more accounts. They can't play on your sites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm.
But now you can, I know you can play online poker in Vegas. You can play online poker in Nevada. So it's just Vegas, but you can play online poker in Nevada, you can play online poker in New Jersey, that's legal. And they actually co-mingle the pools, so you can play somebody in Nevada from New Jersey and vice versa. Like before, it was just you could only play somebody from Nevada.
Oh, okay.
But then they came to an agreement that you stayed.
And there'd be enough degenerates out there that they could get that.
Right, of course, yeah. When they understood they could make more money from it, they went, oh, okay, sure, great idea. So, yeah, I think it's going to come sooner than later. I would be shocked if it wasn't around for, at the very least, the Super Bowl next year.
Okay.
It will probably even be, it wouldn't surprise me if it was done by around Thanksgiving, like before they break, before the season breaks. Because you got to remember here in Illinois, for those of you, again, not in the state, it's Democratic across the board. The House has a Democratic majority. The House, the State Senate has a Democratic majority, and J.B. Pritzker is a Democratic governor. So they're going to do whatever they want, right? And they're going to claim the win. Like we said in an earlier podcast, they're going to claim the win. Look, we brought sports gambling to Illinois. They get to pound the drum and all that good stuff. Do you want to talk about the boo?
What's that?
Do you want to waste time talking about the boo?
If you got a nugget for me.
We can improve. Look, I'm just happy they played baseball today.
Yeah.
It's almost back in our draft.
No, I know. I'm with you. I mean, I joked about it earlier, but it felt good to listen to it.
Oh, I scored a game today. It felt good.
Nice.
Felt real good. Yeah. Scored the Minnesota Baltimore.
Oh, your favorite.
Yeah. And the Twins lost. So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's a good day. Baltimore, big. Big win. 7-2. Or 7-4. I think it was 7-2.
And speaking of that, I mean, again, it means nothing, but the Pale Hose came back from a deficit, which was pretty cool. They were down, like, what, 8-0? And they came back to lose 8-6?
Not bad. They didn't. That's what they did all last year, too.
Like, yeah.
They'd get out to a big deficit. And then scrap back to maybe catch up. And sometimes, most of the time, fall short. That's their MO. I mean, again, it's pre-training.
It is. But again, it's just nice.
You know, the fact that Eloy Jimenez struck out on 3 pitches makes me. doesn't matter. It really
doesn't matter. The promise of spring is here.
Yeah, it was great. I can't wait. Like I said, we're doing our. Talk about fantasy baseball for a minute. We have a league here at work, and we do a slow draft where we basically have a Google Doc, and when it's your pick, you pick. You can take a day, you can take 10 minutes, you can take an hour. We don't care.
That'd be frustrating.
Because we started it early enough to where we'll finish before the season starts.
Sure.
But here, getting 12 of us in a room together for 3 hours isn't going to happen. They're just... not going to happen.
Right.
We're just all too busy. So we could take 5 minutes out and make a pick, you know. So we're on the 15, 14, something like that. We've clipped along nicely. I'm very happy. Sorry, Jose. We've clipped along very nicely. My first pick, I had the 10th pick out of 12 teams, which is like one of the worst places to pick. It's so awful. My first two picks were Scherzer, and even though I have no idea where he's going to play, Bryce Harper. Those are my two picks.
Oh, wow.
So that's a good start. And I'm pretty happy with my team so far. We'll see. In our draft, my friend, coming up in a couple weeks, right?
All right.
Keepers are due to tomorrow?
That yes, right? That's correct.
Anybody thrown back any big names? Because the way this works in our league, for those of you who don't know, which clearly all of you don't know, is the higher up in the standings you finish, the less keepers you get. And Elgato, Jason, is a very good member of this league. He's been in the championship game multiple times.
Yeah, probably the three biggest names I had to throw back, Chapman, didn't even really hurt, like D. Gordon. And Jesus Aguiar.
That's kind of a tough one. Because not only it's deep, I mean, you freeze like 13 people. You freeze 13, I freeze like 15.
I freeze 10.
10? Okay.
Well, yeah.
So that hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Aguiar, decent player. We'll see mm-hmm. what else everybody else pitches out.
He had a bad second half, but.
He did. But I mean, it's a matter of, you know, Kenny with, he's young still. So, I mean, he's going to prove, and can he last the whole season? And I'm sure he can. I don't think it's
right.
But just a matter of, you know, getting all that done. So, my auction league is coming up the Sunday before the season starts, the 23rd, I think a month, exactly a month, 24th, a month from tomorrow is my auction league. Auction leg.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a little different in that league. I like playing auction leagues. They're fun. And I'm pretty good at drafting. So in this league, I've been in the playoffs every year but one.
Oh, nice.
This is our seventh year. Sixth year, something like that. And I've done so many auction drafts in my life. I've been playing fantasy baseball since 1984. I was 14.
Nice.
So, I mean, I've done a few auction drafts in my day. So, I got offered a trade. Here's something that people will be interested in, maybe. So, I have hobby buyers at a very low price, like $15, something like that. I was offered Charlie Blackman at 34 or something like that, and George Springer at 26, and I turned it down. Simply because if he's not going to freeze Blackman, then he goes in the draft, and then I can just pay whatever I want for Blackman, and I'll have Blackman and buy it. So
there you go.
That's where the strategy of it comes in. This part of the season is kind of a game of chicken, because you're trying to trade stuff that you wouldn't freeze for people's stuff that they may or may not freeze, but you would definitely freeze.
Right.
So you got to play a little chicken sometimes and go, a little con game, a little poker face kind of thing, right? But I saw it through.
Oh, well, man. Played.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, and we forgot something pretty important.
What's
are
that?
You are you ready for the pretty important part?
Yeah.
There's Bears news, Jason.
I don't know if you saw. Yeah. I was going to ask if that was official yet.
It is not official until the league season, the league year starts, which is in March.
Okay.
The league runs on a calendar, not the regular calendar.
Right.
The quote unquote year starts in March. Cody Parkey.
Yeah, don't hit the uprights on the way out.
That's right. So does this open the door for Robbie Gould? I mean, they're already sunk $3.5 million in a kicker that's not kicking for him.
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
But it's weird. I know I heard this last week on Waddle's show. All, like, current Bears and former Bears – they like will tweet out happy birthday to you for your birthday.
Yeah.
Like they did it for Waddle. Parky's birthday is the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get anything. This is a week ago.
Well, I think it was Nagy that went on record and said his appearance on the Today Show is a much more me thing than me thing. I want to say that's a quote.
A much more what?
At the very least, a me thing versus a we thing.
Oh, okay.
Meaning Cody Parkey did it selfishly.
Oh.
He was on the Today Show.
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went on the Today Show.
As the latest two-headed goat that people can look at because, yeah.
Oh, look at you. You missed the game-winning field goal. You hit the upright and the crossbar.
Yeah.
And you go on fucking national television. What the fuck are you thinking?
Right?
I think he's thinking...
Especially if it wasn't team-sanctioned.
I think he's thinking it's a $3.5 million contract that he's going to sit back and collect next year. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, he's going to.
And spend all that time practicing. Then you'll have lots to talk about, huh? Yeah, man. Hey, why don't you give us what your favorite thing is right now?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to give you one quick favorite thing before we wrap things up. I have some friends that are listeners of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Our podcast. And I got a text from them. They're friends of mine from when I lived in Wien. And I got a text from them and said, hey, we're thinking about doing a podcast. Great idea. And obviously, duh. He was looking for a little startup guidance, like, you know, what interface to get, what microphones to get, blah, 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 whatever. So I point him all in the right direction, you know, gave him a little hits and tidbits about the logistics of doing a podcast, that kind of thing. And they started finally. I think they were waiting for the holidays to wind down, for them to get the cash necessary to start their podcast. And they've started.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The podcast is called Sippin' Social. It's three guys, a friend Mike, another friend Garrett, and then their friend John. And they are all in the service, well, I don't know if John, but they're all in the service industry. They all are managers of high-end bars and restaurants. And they're beer experts, bourbon experts, whiskey experts. And they're going to talk about all that and shoot the shit like we do and then talk about their lives and shit like that. So I've listened to the first episode. It's up. It's really good. It's not on iTunes yet, I don't think. I don't think they've gotten that far. But they definitely have a website where the podcast is being housed right now. And it's www.sippinsocial.com. sippinsocialpodcast.com. Gave it a listen. Thought it was great. Gave them a tidbit or here or there, constructive stuff. And they're going to take those to heart. And then I'm hoping to get on it one day. We'll see. We'll see if I can go up there and hang out with them for the day or something like that. And maybe make a guest appearance. We'll see. But I'd love to. I'd love to do it. But yeah, that's my favorite thing right now.
Cool.
Podcast is really good. It's really good. They're good content, and they being friends as long as they have, you know, as long, you know, same as us being as friends as we have. Maybe they've been friends probably longer. You know, they bust each other's balls and shit like that. So it's fun. It's fun podcast to listen to. So I highly recommend it. That's sippinsocialpodcast.com. Go watch it.
Right on.
What you got?
Oh, yeah, man. There's a limited series on TNT right now called I Am the Night. And it's a look at the 1960s, and then there's a tie-in back to one of the most famous unsolved murders of all time, the Black Dahlia. So that's pretty cool. I'm down with that. And then there's a corresponding podcast that goes with it that's called Root of Evil. And it's the actual people talking that the show on TV, TNT, is based on.
Gotcha.
So
it's biographical. It's not like.
Yeah. I mean, there's quite a bit of artistic license in the TNT show. Okay. Then, I mean, they just move timelines around when things happen to make them seem more dramatic and interesting. But I mean, all the stuff that happened was real. So
gotcha.
Pretty cool.
Root of Evil was the podcast?
Root of Evil, yes.
Okay, cool. I'll have to download that. Good listen. How many episodes?
Do you know? Of that podcast?
Yeah.
I think there's only two, maybe three at this point. I think the limited series is only going to be 8 shows, and they're already on to number 5. So,
gotcha. Okay. There's news today affecting one of my podcasts. Well, I don't know how much it's going to affect it, but my wrestling podcast, my favorite one, Bruce Pritchard. Excuse me. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. He said he's going to go back to work for Vince.
Apparently. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And like in a very high capacity.
Interesting.
And
so probably not dishing the dirt like he was before.
I don't think it matters. I think Vince wouldn't have hired him.
Okay.
There was that grudge. I don't think. But apparently he's going to have a pretty high level part of creative.
Nice.
But the sad part of that is I don't know if he's going to have time to do his podcast anymore.
No.
Because
it's like a 3-hour one, right?
It's like a 2 or 3 hour one. And Vince is you better have your phone on you at all times. If I call you, you better fucking answer.
Right.
And you better be working 12, 13, 14 hour days, especially if you're creative.
Sure.
Especially if you're high up in creative.
I wonder if it means that he thinks things are getting stale.
They were.
Okay.
We'll see.
So go back to the well.
Bruce did some work for TNA.
I remember that.
And he did
some That work. Was when Hogan and Bischoff bought it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And Bischoff were there. And then he did some work for another indie fed called MLW, Major League Wrestling. I think he was more of a consultant, really. He wasn't really. Like somebody booked it and then ran it past Bruce. Hey, what do you think? Just bounced ideas off and that kind of thing.
Cool.
So I'm wondering how much time he's going to have for podcasts now. So I'm skeptical.
Gotcha.
I'm skeptical if the business may have passed Bruce by. Things that used to work don't work anymore.
Interesting.
Maybe they do. It'll be interesting to see. Clock on
the wall. Clock on the wall says it's time to wrap her up, Joe.
I think so. Thank you for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast. It's episode 57. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/itsthatpod. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J the letter.
The letter.
Sleep Shirley. You can email us, joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. We are on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Alexa, just by saying, hey, Alexa, play It's That Podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast.